Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to operate in the miraculous. That's the name of the latest book of my guest. He's been my guest all this week, senior pastor of Heartland World Ministries Church in Dallas, Texas, Steve Hill. Most of you are familiar with Steve because he just happened to be speaking on Father's Day 1995 in Brownsville, Pensacola, Florida, Assembly of God Church, and there was an outpouring of God's Spirit. Over 500,000 people made professions of faith. How many people came to your services after Father's Day, would you say?
Sid, we had 4 million people come through those doors, but they represent millions that who could have never made it.
And they came from all over the world. They were hungry.
Absolutely. 150 nations of the world.
Is what you had there, is that going to be normal for pastors and believers that are really hungering and thirsting for righteousness at this moment?
Sid, yes, it is, Ben. And the book Operating in the Miraculous is all based on a scripture that really bothers me. And that is, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Doesn't say they might. It says they will lay hands on the sick. And they will. Doesn't say they might. They will recover. Mark 16:17-18. And so, my friend, if you are a believer, if you are call yourself a believer, and if you're not, right now you can become one by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you, to make you brand new. Repent of your sins, and I want to pray with you right now and say, Jesus, thank you for your blood.
Jesus, thank you for your blood.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
I confess my sins.
I confess my sins.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I repent.
I repent.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
My very best friend.
My very best friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you were sincere and you prayed that prayer, listener, you have become a believer in Jesus Christ. You say, it's got to be more difficult than that. No. If it was more difficult, it would be religion. This is Christianity.
Steve, you know, my prayer was even shorter. As a Jewish man 35 years ago, just like you, at the end of the rope, nowhere else to go, some Christians had said there was more power in the name of Jesus than the devil. And so before I was ready to just die, I said a two-word prayer. And you know what? He heard it. The two words were, Jesus, help. That was it.
Fascinating. You know, that needs to be a book called Jesus, Help. Because that is the bottom. When I got saved, I just cried out to the name Jesus. And the Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. But Sid, one of the things I want to share today is once you become a believer and Jesus Christ lives in you, you have authority over demonic forces. And it's by the very nature of becoming a believer. It's not something you did. It's something he did 2,000 years ago on Calvary. So now you are a believer, but you have authority. Just like when you, and God forbid that any of us get pulled over by the police, but when you get pulled over by the police and they give you a ticket, they can give you the ticket because they're wearing a badge and there's a sign on the road that says speed limit 55, and now you're going 80. And so they have the authority by the state of whatever state you're in to give you a ticket. Because Jesus lives in your heart, you now have the authority over demons, devils, sicknesses to do what needs to be done.
You know, Steve, something I've often wondered, and I have to ask you this question. I've heard you speak many times at the Brownsville Assembly of God, and every time I've heard you speak, you've had a new message, and it was really, it was ingenious the way the message was put together. Where did you get all these messages from?
Well, I would get up in the morning, I'd say, Jesus, I'm in trouble, because... You know, I preached every night. When the revival first broke out, it was 7 nights a week.
I know. That's why it was so fresh every night. It was so different. You had some people would come after they got saved. They'd be there. You would tell them, you've got to come here every night. And guess what? They did.
Oh, they would. Someone would go out the building at 1 o'clock in the morning and stand in line and get ready to come in the building at 7 o'clock the next evening. And the lines would stretch out. I mean, it was just amazing. But I got the messages from the Lord. I know that sounds sort of super spiritual, but there's no way you can hold up under that kind of pressure. And in the mornings, I would always spend time with Jesus. I would sleep a few hours and then get up and go into my study. And I'd say, Jesus, you know, tonight thousands of people are going to come from all over the world, and I need a fresh word from you. And the Lord was never, ever, ever late. He always arrived on time, and he put a word in my heart, and we prepared it together.
Did you, just out of curiosity, with all those years of messages and each one different, were there ever times where you just didn't have a word and you got out and started speaking and God showed up? Or did you always have the message just before you started?
You know, I always had the message just before I started, but there's times I got up and I preached a different message. And that was because, you know, God just right in the instant changed it. And then I would preach that. I still have messages in my archive, Sid, that were prepared 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, that I still haven't preached. Okay, and it's because God's got them on hold for a while.
There was such a spirit of repentance. I mean, I know when we did our television show, I aired a tiny segment of someone that was being baptized, and he said. I've messed up everywhere. I was unfaithful to my wife. I mean, I couldn't believe that he was saying these things publicly with cameras on him, but he didn't care.
Sid, I would have to, this is going to be hard to believe for some folks listening, but as I was preaching, I would have to hold people back from coming forward. People would start getting up, coming forward. I said, no, sit back down. I'm going to give the altar call in 10 minutes. People were so convicted under the power of God of their sins. They wanted to get right with God. It was just a fabulous, fabulous time.
In the invisible world, what was going on? Do you think there was a special salvation, repentance angel that showed up when you were preaching?
Absolutely. But the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin. And Holy Spirit was there strong. I mean, we in our church right now, he's as strong as ever. But he convicts men and women of sin. And once you're convicted, see, the word convict means to be found guilty. And once you're found guilty, man, you're popping sweat. You know, you're under the gun. You want to do something about getting that guilt out. And that at the altar is where it all happens.
I've asked before, but I have to ask you again. What is the feedback that you're getting from people that are reading your latest book, Operating in the Miraculous?
Feedback like, changed my life. I don't know what I'd do without this. This has taught me that I can be used of God too. And the feedback like that. It's because this is not some type of theological thesis that's difficult to understand. Operating in the Miraculous is for the layperson, for the pastor. Of course, theologians love it too, but it's just for the man or woman who wants to be used of God in the miraculous.
Now, you also talked earlier this week about an atmosphere for the miraculous. What do you mean by that?
I mean, when you step into a situation where there's someone in a wheelchair, someone in the hospital, usually the atmosphere, that means the climate, can be negative. Maybe somebody was arguing. Maybe somebody just said, you're going to die. Okay, maybe it's that. You've got to change that. Just like in the book of Acts, when Peter and John went up to the man at the gate, beautiful, wonderful story. He was begging. He's asking for alms. Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give you. They changed the atmosphere from the begging, from the carnal world to the spiritual, and then the miracle came.
Very quickly, pray for miracles right now.
Lamb of God, I'm believing you in this moment. I see someone with your eyes have been glazed over, and it's happened over the last week. I pray right now for clear eyesight in Jesus' name right now. Arthritis, blood sickness, blood disease, high blood pressure, heart disease in Jesus' name right now. Paralysis in Jesus' name. I speak healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mishpocha, I want an atmosphere for the miraculous around you wherever you go. Steve Hill has written his secrets, if you will, But they're not meant to be secrets, not just for Steve. They're for you, too. They're for whosoever. And if you will call or write today, we could not make it any easier. We have an 800 toll-free number, which we'll give you in a moment. But if you'll call or write today and ask for the book, Operating in the Miraculous, with a donation of $18 or more, Steve will put down step by step how to create the atmosphere, how to change your mindset. The first believers know anything, but they also had no doubt and unbelief. And what they did normally, I believe that when people read your book and do what you teach, they're going to have the same results you have.
Absolutely. I have no doubt. You know, we're too educated here. And there's nothing wrong with a good educated brain. Don't get me wrong. I'm a pretty smart man myself, and I know you're brilliant. But the bottom line is sometimes you got to set that aside and go, you know something? This is beyond the natural. In the name of Jesus, be healed.
Mishpocha, consider yourself challenged. Do something. Call or write today for the book, Operating the Miraculous. Include a donation of $18 or more, and every cent beyond our cost is poured into Jewish evangelism. Shabbat broadcast, let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechech Adonai ve'yishmarech. Yo'er Adonai panav eilech v'chonech. Yisa Adonai panav eilech ve'asem lech shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.